We have... is my email address on the website?
Yeah, we did.
Everybody...
What?
Everybody in the magazine, if you click on their name.
It's on the door with the email.
Plus, any two-year-old could figure it out.
I'm going to change my email address. I have all of them that used to come to what I'm getting tired of emails. Anyway,
send me some. I haven't been getting
it. Forward them to Gary.
Gary wants it. Gary, he's got email envy.
Yeah. No, I've gotten a lot of emails lately from people who have just started listening, who have no idea what we're talking about, but they can't stop listening.
I don't get that.
Huh?
I mean, all we talk about is just what this thing says here, and people don't get it.
Do you remember 1970?
I don't remember how you were.
I remember when I'd been coming to Bible study for about a month, and I threw a tantrum one night. I can't believe you stupid idiots don't get this.
You threw a tantrum?
You've been coming here for years, and you don't get this. You're idiots.
I never knew that.
Well, anyway, I ended up trying to figure out what it is and why it seems that, you know, what I talk about becomes so mysterious. And you remember I've talked a great deal about how we live in a culture that has an overlay of God stuff and Christianity. But it's a form of Christianity that's hijacked the truth. And if you really look at it, it is a wide, broad spread of the Cerinthian heresy. And the Cerinthian heresy is, you know, I've talked to you about how that Cerinthus was a contemporary of the apostles, and much of John's writing is against him. But the heresy has got so many tangents to it, but it's fundamentally that. The gospel or the mystery of God is, its purpose is to maximize your self-interest, to solve all your problems, and to get fixed. Part of it was the same thing that it is now. It's the seed faith thing where you give to get. There was part of the Cerinthian heresy was a strong dualism, that everything was this war between God and Satan, or between good and evil. And I mean, just if you, I mean, it's about all we see.
Yeah, they turned the Bible into yin and yang.
The other part of it was that there was a strong sense of celebrity selling. You get people that are well known to accept Jesus as their personal savior, which is also part of the Cerinthian heresy. And it's, you got, I mean, the ultimate was when those two football players from the Cowboys,
Deion Sanders and
Emmitt Smith, yeah, that they sent out press releases for their baptism at Potter's House. It's essentially the power to get what you want. You use Jesus as a mantra by repeating. It's not the name of Jesus. It's that. I mean, that's what they use. The word Jesus. Which language is it in? You know, But when it, for us, it's not the name that has the power. It's the name, the nature of. Basically, it's all about instant gratification. And it also had this interesting component, which has been up and down throughout the centuries, but it's back now stronger than ever. And that is that God is going to return to earth and set up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. And they totally misrepresent what it says in Revelation 20 about the millennial kingdom. And so this idea of using God as your instrument to get what you want is, and then the big, another big part of it is that your words have power, so it becomes sorcery. And so you have all these components of the Corinthian heresy, and it describes the cultural environment in which people understand things about Christ and God. And they know it's phony because you look at people. I mean, it takes somebody with the discernment of an ant to watch some of these guys on television and know that it's just pure lies. And so it's very difficult to proclaim or to talk about when it about God stuff when it all has to filter through this template of Corinthian heresy. Does that make sense to you? I mean, my God, I'll pick on Harry again because he hates that. But I mean, that's where he came from. He gave his last $5,000 to get $500,000 so that it would fix his family and his business and his and Gary and any better. I mean, you were going to be useful to God because God was going to give you the power to do what you wanted to do.
Come around to my way of thinking.
Yeah. But that's just, those are just lies that appeal to the fallen nature of man, the idea of self-seeking and becoming something. The gospel from the beginning has been to those, first of all, the word gospel means it's good, something good, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of Jesus, the gospel. But And so they took the word that it's good news to God or it's good news to Christ, and they applied that good to man. Now we even have Bibles that are called good news for modern man. But the whole mystery of godliness is that it only comes to you when you see your failure and the failure of the systems around you. And that you have lost interest in that world, in the world. Because, I mean, to try to mix the two is what mixes the kingdom of God with the kingdom of the world is just goofy. And so everyone hears anything about God and they hear it in relationship to this culture that they've grown up in. And it's a flat out lie. It's no different than, that's why I've said to you so often, you know, for most people, if you were born in Saudi Arabia, you'd be a good Muslim. If you were born in India, you'd be a Hindu. Because all of those things, all of those religions are a way to maximize your own self-interest. And so what I'm saying to you is you've got to understand that the gospel can only be heard by those who have ears to hear. And the only ones that have ears to hear have looked at their life, have looked at the people and the culture around them, and have said, something is wrong. And not only that, they've said, I can't make it in this world. That's who, when the scriptures say, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, your ear has to be circumcised. It's circumcised by seeing the emptiness of human effort. And as we've talked so often, every generation, everybody's sons and daughters knows. I mean, you know, I don't have to tell Helen's daughter that the world is full of crap. I mean, she knows it. I didn't have to tell, you know, Julie the world is full of crap. She knows it.
You have to tell me.
Well, we'll have to amend that sentence a little. You thought God could help you make it in the world and live a normal life with filled picket fences.
Yeah. That's what I think
we're
doing. Cliff, it's critical that we see that this is not about... It's not about fixing you. It's not about you using God to get everything you want. It's of a different class, a different order. It's a different world, a different creation that has nothing to do with this. As Moses said, we are aliens in a bizarre land. And the purpose of the bizarre land, which is time and space itself, is antagonism, to push you to the end where you stop hypocrisy. And that, I believe that is, that's our calling to show that. It's not what we didn't choose a calling, it's just what we are.
Is that image of the ears being circumcised? It's a metaphor, but I just thought someone does that, which is the Father does it. And before, I just always thought it was always like, well, your ears change condition somehow. But
no.
It's actually done by God.
It's done by the Holy Spirit at the will of the Father, so that you can stop hearing and believing and giving any sense to all these voices you hear. It doesn't matter whether the voice is in the world or the voice is in your mind. They're all the voice of the fall. You know, and if you really... The one common denominator of all of these other false religions, and including the Corinthian heresy, is that they don't care for the poor. They live separate from those that they're supposed to minister to. I mean, I was thinking that I went to John Rutledge's. Is he your doctor too? The Dr.
No.
Patton? Anyway, yeah, well, he takes only old failures that are Medicare patients. But I mean, he's just wonderful, and he couldn't believe that. You know, he said, "You're reasonably intelligent. You probably could. Why have you always gone to, you know, the Parkland or what?" I mean, the whole point of it, you can't meet somebody's need if you don't live like them. And I had already seen the emptiness of all of that other crap. And it just made sense to me that if we were going to do what we said we were going to do, then we had to be different. But anyway, it's almost as if you have to forget, or you have to have seen, at least you have to have the intellectual integrity to know that this system that you've heard about and lived in hasn't worked for you. And why continue to try to make it work? I remember 100 times over the first few years that we were together, whether it was John or Gary or others, I would say, why are you defending the system that totally failed? I mean, I don't have to tell you about the loneliness and the fear and unbelievable aloneness that's in the world. I don't have to tell you about if you follow the desires of your mind or what your mind is telling you, you're only going to get more emptiness. I mean, I hope I don't have to tell you that. I hope you've heard enough to know. And so the whole mystery of God, the gospel, is to those people who have come to the end of themselves, who have failed. Those are the words that Norman Grubb spoke the night that I became a believer, that pleased God to reveal His Son in me, because He said you were meant to fail. Now, I wasn't a failure by the world's standards, I was only a failure by my standards. And I just looked everywhere and saw all the stuff I'd seen, and there wasn't any more places I could go, and it was just, is this it? Now, you have to know, if you think that this world is it and your mind is what to follow, then you will still be part of the Cerinthian heresy. You will never be able to see that it's finished. You will never be able to understand that it's perfect. You will never be able to see and understand that the purpose of time and space is antagonism against your wants. And you'll just hear these words and go your way. The operative word is you will go your way. Now for me, I don't know how to say this. There is nothing out there that I find attractive. There's nothing that I want. There's nothing that I need. And I especially know that there's nothing in this thing that I have to pay any attention to. It's just a bunch of crap. I'm pointing at my head. Now that's why you can imagine. I mean, here we had in Galilee and when Jesus first spoke, I mean, my God, there was unbelievable class systems and people were doomed to fail forever because they couldn't go from one. If you wanted to be the high priest, you had to be born into that family. If you wanted to be just a priest, you had to be born into that family. And so there was no way. It's like if you wanted to be a Rockefeller or somebody, Bill Gates or somebody that's super rich, the only way you could do it was to be born into that. Now, that produced something. It produced a system by which you came to the end of yourself faster. Then the English language was developed over the years, and they took little pieces from a whole bunch of different languages and developed our language. And the only reason Great Britain and America have been the two most successful countries for the last 200 or 300 years, more than that. But the reason is because of the language. When they came to America and the Indians were here, the Indians don't even have a word for ownership. They couldn't possibly. It was impossible for them to conceive that a piece of land could be owned by someone. And so they, at first, they graciously said, "Sure, come on." They never built anything permanent. They moved place to place. And here we have all of a sudden these guys building houses and forts and crap. And they said, "Wait a minute, something's wrong."
but they couldn't understand the idea of why anyone would want to own something. Because their security was in the land itself, not in things. I'm ashamed to admit this, but I believe that some of the American Indians were a whole lot closer to the truth than modern Christianity, at least American Christianity. How can you as a Christian own something? It doesn't make sense. How can you protect yourself? It's just the evidence you don't believe. How can you think you want something or need something? You're seated on the mercy seat, the source of all power. And so, the idea of what we hear when we hear Bible or Christianity, most people when they see that, the automatic word that comes when they see on television or the automatic word that comes is hypocrite. Why? Because they have an affinity, at least some affinity with the Bible, and they said, if you should be laying down your life for the needs of the poor. And they look and they see massive gated communities and billion-dollar church organizations, and they say, why? I mean, that's hypocrisy. And unfortunately, in America, for the general public, that's what the word Christian brings to mind. It's a hypocrite. And now it's getting worse, because now the whole process of Christianity over the ones in power are to get more power. Does this make sense to anybody? So you can't understand me unless your ears are circumcised, unless you've come to the end of yourself. Then the idea that your warfare is over, in quietness and confidence you'll be saved, that you're perfect just as you are, that becomes incredible. You can't even believe how good a news that is. But if you've got mountains to climb and rivers to cross and places to go and things to do, then you can't hear this. Because the Cerinthian heresy is about maximizing your self-interest. And so my advice to you is, if that's what you want, you should go somewhere else. That's been my advice since the day I started talking about this. I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I don't care whether you believe or not. I don't want you to believe anything I tell you. I want you to be able to search your own heart and search the scriptures to see whether these things are true. If they're not true, then tell me, because I want to get the hell out of here. But if they are true, my God. As somebody once said, it has staggering implications. What's going on, Gary? You're watching something else.
There's a gate moving out there.
Was the gate shining?
Still moving. If you hurry, you can catch it. I was thinking about how, when you're talking about the power, how it creeps, you know, the political power, the power in finance, power in business, power in the airwaves, gathering all this information, but doing it so that you can spread the word of God, or so you can be more powerful and influence other people to come to the kingdom. It's all using the world. It's actually abusing the world.
It's giving breath.
Yeah, but in the name of God, so it's okay.
So if you've come to the end of yourself, if you see the emptiness of human life,
then you'll be able to hear. If not, you'll spend 100 years here and you won't hear.
It's kind of interesting that tied in with what Wade said. You know, the Holy Spirit allows you to hear, but He's merciful sometimes and doesn't let you hear things that will destroy you. You know, it's kind of, you know, you hear it at the right time.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is He's not going to share His glory with any flesh. So until you voluntarily come to the end of yourself and stop lying to yourself and living in your imagination, you can't hear. That's enough for today. Anybody have any response? This was like pre-kindergarten Christianity.
I can kind of remember how terrifying it was to know that the whole thing was frivolous, crazy bullshit, and think that I was the only one that thought that, and therefore I must be crazy or something, and have to make the decision to sell out, make the decision to change and to fit in and convince myself that it wasn't bullshit. It was terrifying. It was far more than terrifying.
I'm going to read two things. You're going to be late. I haven't read this for a long time. The scriptures talk a lot about dying to self, and this is what it means. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting or hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any amount of money, any climate, any weather, any society, any clothing, any interruption, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own words, when you are uncomfortable with commendations, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met, and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. In these last days, the Spirit would bring us to the cross, that I may know him, being made conformable unto his death. I wrote that about 10 months after I became a believer. And this is the meaning of prayer. We pray for patience, and God sends tribulation. We pray for submission, and God sends suffering. We pray for unselfishness, and God asks that we sacrifice ourselves. We pray for victory, and God allows us to be tempted. We pray for humility, and messengers of Satan buffet us. We pray for strength, and God reveals our secret fears and innermost weakness. We pray for union with Jesus, and God severs all natural ties, and we walk alone, and our friends misunderstand. We pray for love, and God sends us peculiar suffering by sending us unlovely people. We pray for likeness to Jesus, and God puts us in the furnace of affliction. Much that perplexes us is but an answer to our prayer. I didn't write that one until I started teaching Bible study. No, I didn't know that until I started to teach Bible study.
The first one is like a job description of working for you.
What's that?
Dying. The dying to self. It's like a job description.
How do you do
it? Do you think that's funny? Any other response? Gary, what's going on?
This is why they killed Jesus. You know, at least when you get in positions of power in the church and that, and somebody comes along with stuff like this, they're dangerous. It destroys everything you built up and create.
Or whether or not you're in position of power in the church or not, whether it's just because you've got ideas in your mind, it also...
Doesn't Caiaphas or one of those guys say something about we will lose our place or they will take our place?
Yeah, he said it's better for one man to die than for the whole nation to suffer and lose our place.
Yeah, I was hearing that a lot while you're talking.
Remember, I told you many times the three rebuffs. Why do you want to be part of this? Are you crazy? Don't you know you'll lose everything you once held dear? Go away. Come back second time. I still want to be a part of it. Why, you fool? Don't you know you'll be hated of all men and they'll call you demon-possessed? Go away. Come back the third time. I still want to be a part of it. And say, you fool. Don't you know they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service? And if he said, yes, I know, then he was embraced and accepted.
He was invited to say the loser's prayer.
What does that mean?
Huh? Did you invite somebody to say this prayer with you?
Oh. The
sinner's prayer.
Oh, the sinner's prayer. So you're going to wear and say the loser's prayer? We're going to say the prayer for the dead.
Speaking of the dead, a lot of times in Mormon Bible study, I think of the obituaries. I've said that before, but I'm glad. I'm relieved that they recently redesigned the obituaries in the Dallas Morning News. They have a new font, and they're very comforting.
Wade World.
Thank you, Wade.
No, I can't wait to see it.
Did you save the article yesterday about Jim Petty?
Yeah.
I need to read it again. I think I misread it. All righty, take it, big guy.
See the article this morning about the new IRS.